Okay, so today I will be presenting on non-pharmaceutical interventions for pandemic influenza, an assessment of communication, training, and guidance needs of state, tribal, local, and territorial public health officials. And I have no relationships to disclose. So during this presentation, I'd just like to give a little overview. I'll go over the background of the project, give an overview of the project, talk about the key informative interviews that we conducted along with a web-based survey. Then I'll discuss the limitations, a summary of key findings, and recommendations from the project. So let's start with a little background on the main topic areas of the presentation, which are non-pharmaceutical interventions and pandemic influenza. So NPIs are measures, apart from getting vaccinated and taking medicine, which helps slow the spread of respiratory illnesses like influenza. Simply put, NPIs are personal protective measures, including covering coughs and sneezes, washing hands and staying home when sick, community measures such as closing schools temporarily, and environmental surface measures such as cleaning regularly. So what do NPIs have to do with pandemic influenza? Well, as we all know, outbreaks of seasonal flu occur every year. However, a flu pandemic occurs when a new flu virus emerges for which humans have little or no immunity. And because they have little or no immunity, and it's a new virus, vaccines aren't readily available, so it may take a while for vaccines to be produced. So what NPIs can help do is slow the spread while vaccines are being produced, which could take anywhere from a few months up to a year, really. And if anyone recalls, the last pandemic flu outbreak was 2009 H1N1. So now that we have a little background, let's get into the project itself. So for this project, we collaborated with ORISE. I'm not sure if everyone's familiar, but we do a lot of work with them at the CDC, particularly within our division. The overall goal of the project was to identify the needs of state, tribal, local, and territorial health departments related to communicating, implementing, and monitoring NPIs during an influenza pandemic. During phase one, which were the key informant interviews, the objectives were to discuss pandemic influenza NPI communication and training needs, and solicit input on survey development and the process to be used for phase two. Phase two, based upon the feedback from phase one, we decided to do a web-based survey. And the objectives here were to inform the development of pandemic influenza NPI materials, identify preferred channels and format for NPI communication, and identify types and needs of NPI training and guidance. So I'll talk briefly about phase one, which were the key informant interviews, but the majority of the presentation will be on the web-based survey. So, during phase one, we interviewed 8 key informants from 5 state and local partner organizations. These organizations were ASTO, CSTE, NACHO, NIFIC, and SOFI. Respondents were asked about their professional background and position, communication and training needs on NPIs, and the survey process and additional recommendations. In terms of survey topics, respondents recommended current and future NPI communications, NPI training, and NPI guidance. And I'll talk a little bit more about NPI guidance a little later in the presentation. Okay. So phase two, let's get into the methods of the web-based survey. We used MR interview to create the survey, and ASTO, CSTE, NACHO, and NIFIC sent out recruitment emails to member categories pre-selected as appropriate for the survey, such as emergency preparedness coordinators or risk communicators. At the beginning of the survey, respondents self-screened to ensure they worked in a state and local health department and had duties related to pandemic influenza and emergency preparedness and response. Survey topics included respondent characteristics, NPI communications and training, NPI guidance needs for NPI planning and implementation, and monitoring for NPI implementation. In terms of data analysis, we did some of the basic analysis followed by stratified analysis by type of health department, primary duty, and locale. And I'll give the disclaimer right now, I am not the data person, so any data questions I can write down and refer to the correct person. Okay, there we go. Web-based survey results. So, as far as the respondents, respondent characteristics, 346 people received the survey, and 267 people completed the entire survey, resulting in a response rate of 77%. Local health departments represent a majority of the typhus health department. The top primary duties were emergency preparedness and response, health communication and education, and policy. And respondents were able to choose more than one option in terms of the population served by their health department. And the population most served, as you can see here, was rural. And I'd like to point out also that we did not ask about the age, gender or sex, or race or ethnicity of any of the respondents. So when we asked the respondents what audiences would be most helpful for CDC to target in their NPI messages, the first audience was general public and families, followed by K-12 school administrators and business owners and employers. Next, we asked, what are the top three materials you find most effective in communicating NPI guidance and messages to audiences? Printed handouts were preferred by business owners and employers, child care program and K-12 school administrators, and mass gathering organizers. Broadcast media was preferred to reach general public and families. Social media was preferred method for institutions of higher education administrators. And websites was the preferred method for other public health professionals. And I would like to point out here that websites were only ranked as the preferred method for other state and local health officials, which is the audience that was ranked lowest in terms of audiences to reach, as you saw in the previous slide. This is interesting because the primary focus in terms of outreach, we do a lot of work on working on our websites and updating them and making sure they're very nice. But as you can see here, we might need to focus on some of these other things. But there are considerations here, so I'll touch on those later as well. So when asked what are the top three areas you or your agency would like to have additional NPI information and training, number one was NPI strategies and triggers for youth. And when we say triggers for youth, we really mean when should select NPIs be implemented. Ranked second was communicating NPI recommendations to families and community settings. And third was decision-making strategies for NPI recommendations. Also, when you take a closer look at the data, you see that health department types vary in how they rank NPI strategies and triggers for youth. Rural health departments ranked them higher than urban and suburban health departments. So this is the guidance. You've heard me speak about guidance throughout the presentation, and I'm pretty sure many of you are aware in here, but in 2007, CDC developed the interim pre-pandemic planning guidance, or the 2007 CMG, which can be seen here. And it can also be accessed on our website. I have materials and cards in the back if anyone would like to pick them up on your way out. So in the survey, we asked three questions about the 2007 community mitigation guidance. One, were respondents aware of the guidance? Two, if so, did they use it and how? And three, if they were not aware of it, if they were aware but did not use it, what would have made them more likely to use it? 145 respondents reported that they were aware of the 2007 CMG, and urban and suburban health departments were more likely to report awareness of the guidance compared to rural health departments. 105 reported using it for general reference and planning during the 2009 H1N1 response. Respondents would have been more likely to use the 2007 CMG if it had more practical orientation, which can include things such as case studies, decision-making guides, or communication samples. So these are things like text messages. I know in 2009 H1N1 we did draft letters for school administrators, text messages, fact sheets for certain settings. Next, we asked, what are the top three kinds of pandemic influenza NPI guidance information that you or your agency would like from CDC? Again, triggers for implementing NPIs is an area, obviously, that people need a lot of help with, health messaging for various populations and settings, and a legal authority for implementing NPIs, which becomes important when we talk about things such as closing schools. Who has the authority there? Is it the school board? Is it the health department? Those are important things that need to be worked out. Also here, Ranked fourth and not shown on the slide was policy issues concerning the implementation of NPIs. And I point that out because health department types also vary in how they rank this issue. Urban and suburban health departments ranked policy issues concerning the implementation of NPIs higher than rural health departments. When we talk about monitoring NPI implementation, we asked, does the health department you work in have a method in place to monitor the following? School closings, school absenteeism, influenza-like illness or ILI-related absenteeism in schools, workplace closings, workplace absenteeism, and mass gathering cancellations. And these are all of the kind of community NPI measured type things. So state and local health departments reported having the ability to monitor the following. 165 health departments reported having the ability to monitor school closings. 180 reported having the ability to monitor school absenteeism. And of those, 167 can monitor ILI-related absenteeism in schools. However, most state and local health departments reported not having the ability to monitor the following. 217 did not have the ability to monitor mass gathering cancellations. 251 did not have the ability to monitor workplace closings during a pandemic, and 261 that could not monitor workplace absenteeism. And some of these things here, it's pretty obvious as to why you can't really monitor workplace absenteeism as well as school closings. So let's get into some of the limitations of the study. We did use a convenience sample of respondents that were pre-selected by four partner organizations. Also, our survey took place during July, which is a high travel month. However, as you can see, we did have a pretty high participation rate. The majority of respondents were from local health departments, but additional analysis by type of health department, duty, and locale was done, so we can kind of pull out some of the differences there. And lastly, we did have limited outreach to tribal and territorial health departments. So in terms of a summary of key findings, we touched on all of these previously, but with limited resources, it is important to kind of focus your work here, and as we all know, there are a lot of cuts going on in government these days. So in terms of NPI communication priorities, target audiences that respondents felt that we should focus on are general public and families, child care in K-12 schools and workplaces. Materials and channels that they felt were important or preferred were broadcast media and printed handouts. In terms of NPI training needs, NPI strategies and triggers for youth were important, communicating NPI recommendations to families and community settings, and decision-making strategies for NPIs. Following up a little further on the summary of key findings, in terms of NPI guidance, respondents felt that we needed more practical orientation, and as I said, it's more like case studies, sample communications, things like that. Again, triggers for implementing NPIs, health messaging for various populations and settings, and the legal authority for implementing NPIs. And some, in terms of monitoring NPI implementation, school dismissal and absenteeism monitoring capabilities were high, while workplace and mass gathering capabilities were low. And we also see throughout the analysis that there were differences by type of health department. Urban and suburban and rural health departments varied on how they ranked their training and guidance needs. So in terms of recommendations, and let's start off with the NPI communications and training. We felt that first, we are currently refining channels for NPI materials distribution. So again, we've been working on our website. We did a website usability testing, but we're also looking at other ways such as social media, maybe for colleges and universities, things of that nature. We're also developing a pandemic influenza NPI training for health departments, which we hope to have out next year. So again, look at the website in the back and you'll see it there. In terms of NPI guidance, we are currently updating the 2007 community mitigation guidance to provide more practical orientation for pre-pandemic NPI planning. This includes planning scenarios, NPI triggers, decision-making guides, or a toolbox for communication. And lastly, in terms of dissemination, we are developing a social media and dissemination plan for NPI communications and guidance to increase awareness and use of NPI materials, messages, and recommendations. Again, it is important to consider the cost of preferred communication materials and channels as we plan. I mean, as I said, for example, if we want to do handouts or broadcast media, it costs money to pay for airtime, things of that nature. So we might have to get creative in these times to come up with ways to do that. And at this time, I'd like to just acknowledge a lot of the people that work with us. In addition to the people at the end with NIFIC, CSCE, ASTO, and NACHO, it wouldn't have been possible without their help. So thank you very much.